It still feels like a mystery world to me in a lot of ways. Like, I still feel like I've not even scraped 10% of the barrel, and that's kind of a really exciting place to be.
I had the very great pleasure of hanging out in Sydney recently and going on a little Marrickville crawl. Oh, goodness me, what a cool suburb with so much fantastic stuff to discover. One of the places I went to was Wildflower Beer and Brewery, where you can drink beer, eat delicious food, and talk to people who know all about it. I was very lucky to meet Namisha Dale Cully there, and today we are going to be talking all things beer, including beer culture and what needs to change. Namisha, welcome to Dirty Linen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Danny. That was such a great intro. Very excited to be here.
I am really excited to have you on the show. It was really great to meet you. For people who haven't had the extreme pleasure of going to Wildflower, let's start there. Give us the lay of the land.
Ah, perfect. To set the scene of the venue, one thing that Topher said to me that has stuck with me was, it's kind of like your lounge room if your lounge room was full of barrels, which makes no sense if you haven't been there, but it does if you ever walk through the door. We are tucked away down a little side street on Marrickville called Brompton Street, in a late 1800s warehouse. Producing some pretty unique products, mixed fermentation barrel-aged ales fermented with wild yeast derived from wild flowers, with a real focus on using regeneratively farmed grain, particularly organic ingredients as much as possible, and everything with the exception of a little bit of organic Motueka from Nelson in New Zealand, everything from within the borders of New South Wales. They're just stunning products. I feel so lucky to work there and be a part of the brand. Topher and Chris launched the business back in 2017. It's kind of strength to strength since then. We're working on currently on expanding our hospitality offering, including at the moment some really delicious food from AP Bakery that I know you were privy to when you were in town. Just a really exciting, lovely, welcoming place is what we aim for anyway.
Yeah, well, I think you're a big part of that warm welcome, Namisha. What is a beer that you are absolutely loving at the moment?
At the moment, I just cannot stop talking about and recommending the latest blend of Hive post-brewed, which is a beverage that we make with Tim and Emma Malfoy from Malfoy's Wild Honey. They are incredible producers. For anyone who can get their hands on their products, that honey tastes like nothing else I have ever tasted. But basically, Tim and Emma supply us with post-brewed honey comb, or honey wax, as he calls it, which is comb, bee bread, propolis, bits of honey that are clinging on, essentially just everything that's left after they press to make their honey. And we put barrel-aged gold beer, our beer, back onto it and let it do a secondary fermentation. And it just turns out to be this like beautiful, rich, spicy, unctuous thing with just so much honey character. And number 6, which we're pouring at the moment, is particularly special. It's just got a bit of residual sugar and, yeah, I'm obsessed.
Well, let's just talk about that obsession a little bit. Like, what is it about beer that has grabbed you so tightly and, yeah, in its embrace?
That is a really good question. I think that I wish I had, like, had a better explanation to why I find it so eternally fascinating. I just think I started working in the industry and kind of learning more and finding out more, and then got into breweries, and maybe it's the people. So many people from such diverse walks of life with such incredible knowledge, and I mean, obviously a delicious beverage, which helps. But it still feels like a mystery world to me in a lot of ways. Like, I still feel like I've not even scraped 10% of the barrel, and that's kind of a really exciting place to be.
Yeah, so true. Well, I think beer is so fundamental to civilization, and I would say it's obviously all bound up in grain and fermentation, and I think, you know, beer and sourdough have so much in common, and I think especially the depth that you can go to, that sense of the endless learning and variation is, I wouldn't say I'm a beer geek at all, but I do love that sense of that you would just never stop learning. There would always be something new.
And it truly, it is such a historical beverage. That's a really good point that I didn't touch on. And inherently tied to culture and community, and initially started out as an agricultural product, which is something that, you know, Tofa is really strong on and likes to speak about, that it was, you know, initially not made with the purpose of intoxication or anything. It was with the purpose of preserving your grain and nourishing, well, nourishing is a difficult word to use around alcohol, but, you know, nourishing yourself, and just, yeah, has kind of evolved so much over time, and the evolution of styles is really, really cool to look at. But such a, yeah, beverage that's steeped in history and culture.
So as we've established, beer and culture are inextricable, which I think perhaps leads us to a chat about beer culture in general, and I suppose the culture that we live in now around beer. Where do we pick this up? When I came and saw you in Sydney, it was a pretty interesting week in craft beer. It was the week of the Gabs Craft Beer Festival. There had been something that had happened that created a lot of, I guess, pain and discussion. Do you want to talk us through that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was an incident that really gathered actually some kind of collateral and energy behind it, which was, you know, humbling and good to see. But essentially, and I'm not going to identify the brewery specifically, because I don't believe it's a discussion about like a takedown of their brand. I believe it's a discussion about the broader state of the industry and, you know, where we are with where it led to, the fact that this happened and no one at any point thought that it wasn't okay. But a brewery entered a beer into, the Gabs Festival, which was an 18.1% quadruple IPA entitled Barely Legal. There was a description around it, and forgive me, I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but it was something to the effect of, the last line of the description was something to tell your friends about, and it was described as, you know, adventurous, which that in itself raised some red flags for a lot of people. But then they went as far as to post a promotional video for this beer, which featured the tap decal, which was a direct ripoff of Pornhub, their branding, and with, porn-esque music in the background of the video. So there was a really wonderful woman on Instagram called Chicks Invented Beer, and she basically started kind of making some noise about it, and then a core sort of group of women in our industry became aware of it and were starting to talk about it and share things about it. And the point actually where there started to be some movement from them was Clementine Ford got involved, and obviously Clementine, who is, you know, wonderful and incredible and has a lot of followers and a fair bit of clout. Then the video was removed from the internet, and it did go on further from there in terms of it got ended up on the ABC and SBS News. The beer was apparently scratched from the festival, but basically, yeah, they were told they can't enter the beer with that name. Is kind of a short summation of a long period of discussion and emotion, and I got involved, and then I was having all of these discussions with all of these wonderful, powerful women in our industry, and I was like, oh, I can't it can't just be us. It can't just be us having these conversations and feeling this like anger and like sadness. And so I got on my soapbox a little bit and just sort of tried to channel all of my energy and vitriol about it into writing, which is something that I like to do, and published a little blog, which I don't really know if that went anywhere, but it felt really good to get it out.
Well, I think you express it really well in your blog, and we'll put a link to it in the show notes. People should also check out Beer is a Girl's Drink, which is the name of your blog. I suppose, you know, some of the feelings that I've got around this are how familiar the trajectory of it was. It was just, you know, something obnoxious occurs, or perhaps, you know, occurs sounds so benign. It's, people do something obnoxious. Let's make it active, because people are making decisions about these things. People do something obnoxious. They're called out. They say it's a joke. You're taking it too seriously. There's a whole kind of diminishing of feminist rage, which I think, you know, women are incredibly familiar with. And it's very tiring, and it's very disappointing. It's really quite boring, but yet you just sort of have to engage with it over and over again. So it's diminished, and then eventually the noise becomes loud enough that it's like, oh, okay, fine. We'll there's a half-hearted kind of missing the point apology and a promise to do better. And I think, you know, there are many arenas in society where these things go round and round and round, and they flare up every now and again. I'd say the beer industry, from my, you know, outside perspective, does seem to be one where there is a lot of quite organised movements for change, particularly from women, but also of other other diverse groups. But I mean, what do you think that's something? Do you think, I mean, what is the beer industry like? You know, you're a woman in beer. There are lots of great women working in beer. What kind of space is it?
Look, I think for the most part, I will preface it with a bit of positivity in that, like, I do think there is a shift noticeably for me in the 5 years that I've been in the industry, and I do think there is a lot of excellent people out there who are doing work in terms of diversity and equality in our industry. But it speaks to, and I think I was listening to the Brews News podcast the other day with Matt Kierkegaard and Serena Kuntz, and I've forgotten the third man's name, which is very terrible of me, but they were speaking about how kind of instances like this hold the whole industry back, and how we need to like elevate beer and people's understanding of beer, because in Australia, kind of culturally, I think like people have this really simple like beer is just a thing that you drink down the pub kind of mentality, and a lot of that is tied to men at the pub, you know, blah blah blah, and these are quite male dominated environments, and everyone that I know that is you know, female or non-binary or yeah, otherwise kind of diverse in the industry feels this real pressure to have to prove yourself and prove your knowledge, because people don't believe that you know things. And like the amount of times for me that men will come up to the bar and say, oh, so do you like beer then? And I'm like, you don't do a career in hospitality because it's fun or easy. Like, you do it because you really love it, and because you know, anyway, that's another discussion. But there is this real subtle, well, not always subtle, but just belief that women don't, you know, drink beer or understand beer, or, you know, people come into the bar saying, oh, what do you have for women? And I will be like, oh, I've got 13 taps of delicious beverages for women, actually. And I think that for me, what I'm realizing now is the more subtle ways that the industry does hold us back. I'm really lucky to work somewhere like Wildflower, where Topher and Chris, such shining stars of what it is to really champion the women that work for you and push them to the front, and really provide everyone with an opportunity and a platform and respect. But I have worked in some places where they're just, isn't not necessarily the pathways to progress, but maybe not the pathways to progress and be very open and clear and vocal about your morals and your feminist rage, and a bit of a culture of just grinning and bearing it with regards to some things. And I don't want to do that anymore. And I remember feeling like I had to, and I think my reason for using my platform is that I want other women to know, particularly who are starting out in the industry, that they don't have to tolerate this behavior. But I feel like I've gotten completely off topic here. I think.
Not at all. I think, yeah, it's all relevant. So yes, all right. Please continue.
I think, yeah. You know, the reality is, yes, at the moment, a lot of consumers in the industry are male, and a lot of people in the industry are also male. And business ownership, and there's a whole lot of reasons that there aren't more women owning and running breweries. But it's just that kind of thing where people, you get a certain group of like one, excuse me, a certain group of one type of person in the room, and it's really easy to not consider other people. And I don't think it's always nefarious or intentional. I just think that it's like having the insight to consider your space, and that's the first frontier is your public space, and how are you making that inclusive for people, which you can break down into lots of things, but it needs to be like a welcoming space. You need to have appropriate furniture for everyone. You need to have appropriate bathrooms. You need to consider food offering. It's one that I half on about all the time. It's not everyone who goes to a brewery wants to eat burgers and wings. Not that there's anything wrong with burgers and wings, but you know, you need to consider that there are people who are vegetarian, or there are people who are gluten-free, or whatever. And spaces being welcoming for families, all of that sort of stuff, because until you do that, you're only going to see representation of the same type of people in these spaces, which are the ones that the spaces are made for, which makes it harder to be there as anyone else.
Mm. How important do you think it is to be explicit about these things within a business? Like, within, let's say, a beer festival? Like, do you think things like codes of conduct or mission statements, those kinds of things, are useful?
Absolutely. Absolutely so needed. And lots of people who this doesn't affect will say, oh, it's the, you know, like it's the woke police, or it's virtue signaling, or whatever. But it's really not. Having a clear standard of behavior there, like even printed on something at your festival, to like have something to point to when someone is behaving inappropriately and being like, this is not it, that's why you're out of the festival. And having actually actionable outcomes to these things as well, because I think it's really easy to, we're really good at saying the words and saying that we're doing the things, but we're not really good at taking accountability and actually taking action. So even something I was speaking to Rich Adamson the other day, one of the owners of Young Henry's, who's a member of the Independent Brewers Association board. And, you know, he was saying maybe we need like a disclaimer when you buy a ticket to a festival, you sign this disclaimer to say, I understand that this is the expectations of behavior, and if I don't meet that, then, you know, I'm going to be kicked out of the festival. Because all of this stuff, like all of this, it was just a joke stuff, these little things are the things that build to a culture where, unfortunately, bigger things can happen. And in these alcohol-fueled environments, that's, you know, it's can be a not particularly safe space.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the whole it's just a joke, calm down kind of diminishing of these you know, drawing attention to things that aren't okay does suggest that there are no real world outcomes from some of these decisions that people have made. And I noticed that you put on your blog about a Drinks Agents for Change diversity survey, which said that 15% of respondents had experienced harassment within the past 12 months. And at beer events, 22% of respondents had been harassed on the basis of their gender. 17% had been sexually harassed. I mean, that is just disgusting.
It's like not even shocking to me, which is kind of the upsetting thing, I think. The work that Drink Agents for Change are doing is phenomenal. That this is the second year they've done that diversity survey, and it's really important data because, unfortunately, as you say, this the culture of like diminishing it as, we're being too sensitive, or it's just a joke, means that it's harder to create action. But statistics really help us to then push this narrative forward and like create change. There was some other of the results of the survey, which they published recently, which I thought was really interesting, was the responses of people in the industry who were male or hadn't been harassed versus people in the industry who weren't and had been harassed, and the difference in their responses. And one that's like really stuck in my mind was this person who was just like, this is not an issue, stop creating a problem where there is none.
Hello, privilege police.
Yeah. And I was like, your privilege is showing, but but that is unfortunately a lot of the rhetoric for people. And there's a lot of people, I think, who go, oh, but I'm a good guy. Like, I know that, and there are so many wonderful, wonderful men in our industry. Like, I have so many male coworkers that I love dearly, and respect so much. But you need to be able to take accountability for it's, it's the same as I wouldn't say to someone, oh, but like, I'm not racist, I'm a good person. Like, I take accountability for, white people, colonizers have done to our country and like all that stuff. And you have to be willing to take accountability and say, oh, I'm really sorry that happened for you. How can I help create change?
Yeah. Are there any industries that you look to that you think are doing a really good job in this space?
That's a good question. I don't really think so.
It's definitely society wide. I mean, one thing that, when you're talking about being ejected from festivals, AFL came to mind, just in terms of, there's a lot of work to do, but there is a bit more accountability for fans who, yell out racist things during games. People are, banned for life. I think there is. Even I think about those at the footy, they've got, I can't remember what the wording is, but, text this number if you see antisocial behaviour or experience antisocial behaviour. It's like, I don't know what happens if you text that number, and I don't know how many people prank it and how useful it is. But, I mean, I think it is that thing that you can point to where there is at least some kind of signalling that, that certain types of behaviour are not condoned, that they're not endorsed, that they have no place in our society. So,
yeah, there was and I don't have a great deal of like information on this outside of what I've read and looked at, but recently there was a craft brewers conference in Nashville in Tennessee, which is a huge, huge festival with like 16,000 people attending or something crazy like that. And there was some stuff that came out of there, but they were using a third party reporting app, which, again, was signposted around the event to scan a QR code if something happens. I think that is a really valuable tool to anonymously be able to report something, or, choose to not be anonymous if you want to, because otherwise I think pathways can be really hard to see to try and get any response or any remedy for something that has happened. And you know, maybe you can hope that someone will read that and that will make them stop and think, but who knows?
And I mean, I know there are female run and owned and staffed breweries. Are there any female only events in the craft beer world?
Well, we do have Pink Boots Society, which is was started in the States many moons ago now, and we have a really strong chapter in Australia led by Tiff Waldron, who is an amazing, phenomenal powerhouse of a human and someone who, like, I've looked up to for a really long time. And there is a team of people there working really hard to put together networking and education events. I'm a state coordinator for New South Wales. And there's a number of state coordinators in every state. So we certainly do that. And that is not also just beer, that's actually anyone in fermented beverages. So that opens that up to obviously brewing and distilling and, winemaking and distilling and all of those things. There's also some really powerful women here in Sydney. There is an organization called Women and Revolution, which was launched by a group of wine professionals here in Sydney who are also doing the same networking, education, just really, I think, trying to provide people with opportunities to build community. And I think the feeling that you get when you walk away from being in a room of like-minded people like that who are supporting each other and building each other up and reminding them that you're not just on the coal face every day of trying to call out comments or attitudes, and that there are other people fighting that fight alongside you is so, so valuable. So hats off to everyone who's putting those events together. We're all volunteering our time, but that's to create a better future for everybody.
Oh, I love that, Namisha. So if there's a woman who's starting out in beer listening to this and just wondering, you know, perhaps she has experienced some of those comments or, you know, seen whether it's branding or ads or whatever that makes her feel like this isn't a safe enough space to forge a career in, you know, do you have any advice for that person?
Oh, let me think about how to say good words. I think that, like, my first piece of advice would be, like, in times where you don't feel like you can speak out or you feel a bit hopeless, look to those people in the industry that are out there making noise and calling this out. Just really absolutely get involved with any industry bodies that you can, Pink Boots, any of that stuff, and get in contact with those people. Because for me, I looked to Tiff, who is the head of Pink Boots Australia, and Lindsay, who's the national coordinator of state coordinators, in my early days, and they were so outspoken and vocal and strong in their beliefs, and that gave me hope that maybe one day I could be like that. So look to those people, and just remember that you're never alone. Sometimes it feels really, really shit, but there is just as many good people out there who are trying to push change and people who are willing to support you and tell you that you're not crazy.
Yeah, well, I love that. And, you know, heroes and mentors are so important. I think messaging is really important too. And I think you do that with your blog and your Instagram, you know, Beer is a Girl's Drink. And also that person you mentioned that's got Chicks Invented Beer, I think you said it was. Like this idea that actually, guys, this isn't a man's drink. Like, we got this.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Like when I was speaking to history, which I should have touched on before, when I was speaking to, like, the history of beer, if you actually have some knowledge and do some research, it's all women.
Yeah.
Ale wives.
Yeah. So, yeah, great. Well, I think you are definitely part of a brighter future in beer for women and other diverse communities and voices. Thanks for being part of the change and for sharing with us today, Nimesha. It's, yeah, really awesome to know you. And, yeah, you certainly opened my mind to different beers, and I look forward to that journey continuing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm just really grateful to you for giving me the platform, because I think that, you know, we need to take this discussion outside the kind of four walls of our industry and really help everyone else understand and hopefully welcome some more diverse people into the beer scene, into our spaces, into our businesses, and have them really know that, like, there are people who are trying to make it a safe space for everyone. And we will keep pushing for diversity and yeah, not, as you said, not just women, people, yeah, other forms of diversity as well. 'Cause I'm aware that's very much a thing that needs attending to as well.
Yeah, well, I, you know, I stand with you. I think this stuff really matters. There's real world outcomes. It can be, you know, life-changing for good or for bad for people. So, yeah, let's, yeah, it's great work that you're doing. And, yeah, let's rock on.
Yes, absolutely.
This is Dirty Linen, and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta at Dirty Linen Podcast. We can't wait to hear from you.